It was a place that swallowed you in waves, coaxing you back gently, like the lingering taste of whiskey. Sickening and far too sweet. It was easy to let happen. Moments of freedom ever shorter until one day, you simply never emerge from the fog. The taste of it made it easy to forget that dawn and sunlight even existed. And just as persistent as the mists were in Illrest, so was the rain. Something about the rain always felt bizarre. It made the cemetery gate hinges squeak too hard, like an enraged wraith calling out disturbance from her grave. Crows would even gather on the iron spikes and headstones, adding a frantic chorus to the skies. I don't think the others ever cared, but I always inclined my head to the blackbirds, afraid they'd tell the spirits to rise up and swallow us whole. It seemed a fair trade, acknowledgement for safe passage to the brick building that loomed tall and erudite. If I believed hard enough, it felt like the crows would quiet down and leave us be. I was determined to finish my degree, and I didn't have any time for the dead to spirit me away. It was our 19th year when I decoded the rain.
How nice of the airhead to join us for study.
You try getting 2 hours of sleep.
I don't run off to the docks every night to play on boats that don't belong to me. Damn delinquent.
In other words, you're no fun.
Can't we have a nice non-combative lunch for once?
I don't tolerate idiocy.
I don't tolerate boring people.
And I don't tolerate nonsensical bickering. Maggie, help me out here.
My finger stops tapping the mahogany table. I buckle under her plea. I always do. Evangeline's piercing gaze is perfectly framed by her dark waves as she stares, waiting for me to talk. I chance a look at the other two. Ambrose's lips, a serious hard line. Caspian's eyes blue and bright and sparkling with mischievousness. Utterly unhelpful, the both of them. I pause, I think, then I open my mouth a moment too late.
Forget it.
Sorry, I don't know what you want me to say. Studying's good, fun's good, you know, balance and all that, right?
I just mean, they don't need a fight while I'm trying to eat my sandwiches.
You don't want dinner and a show?
Try me, Caspian.
Her delicate fingers dance over top the small stack of three, barely as big as her palm. She waits for the rest of us. Every time we have a meal together, she can't help herself. It makes Evangeline uncomfortable to eat when no one else is. Caspian places a paper bag on the library table, the noise much to Ambrose's dismay. Ambrose and I follow suit, bringing our lunches to the table from underneath. It had become a silent ritual before we knew. The three of us look to Evangeline, then take our first bites. She sighs contentedly, then we all dig in quietly, the turn of pages ticking time away. It was a minute, or an hour, I don't remember. But certainly that day, when the beast arrived. The door swings open. Autumn walks in. His mane of hair burns like the changing of the leaves, flecked with hues of flame and wood. His back hulks with a heavy instrument case that he gently places against one of the bookshelves. Ambrose and I visibly cringe at the books that are certainly being deformed under the weight of whatever's in that case. His light brown eyes scan the room once, twice, then land on us. He strides forward. The man's footsteps fall heavy, like half-lidded eyes dusted with lust. His scent wafts in the air as he passes behind our chairs, rounding the table. Whiskey and rain-stained earth. A sweet, understated smell. Just unique enough to lull you closer, to check that you didn't imagine it. Like an unseen force bends and twists the entire world around him. My hair stands on end. I swear to God above, I hear a spirit whisper.
Something about him is the end and beginning.
His hands grip the chair next to Evangeline. Hair falls so thickly across his face that I don't even see his expression.
May I borrow this?
Although it was a question, it commanded silence. All four of us froze in his presence. Then, after a small eternity...
What for?
A challenge, dripping with curiosity.
To sit in, certainly. I see no ghost taking up the spot, my dear. Surely you won't miss the chair for more than an hour.
Instinctively, I look around. Could he sense them too? Caspian watches my wandering eye and offers a comforting shrug.
So do study, then.
Of sorts, Morape.
Good lord, he was...
intimidating?
Borderline terrifying.
Nice shoes, though.
You always manage to say the most bizarre, unexpected things.
Just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, of course.
You don't think he meant what he said?
What?
About the ghosts?
Maybe so.
Maggie, you are always trying to find an excuse to believe in the impossible, I swear. There's no such thing as ghosts or spirits or magics or whatever other fantasy hullabaloo you're attempting to convince yourself of.
Killing the fun yet again. You're too analytical. Have you no imagination?
You're encouraging her to have wild bouts of fancy. It's not helpful for her or our schooling. Have you no sense of duty? Bah, you're so childish.
And yet, you always come back. It's time for what you do.
Evangeline? She's been silent too long. It's uncomfortable to be between Caspian and Ambrose without her chirping to interrupt them. I follow her chocolate gaze to the man made of autumn winds. The chair cuts through the focused quiet of the library, causes heads to raise and mouths to hiss his way. He only raises an eyebrow and waves at them, an awkward charm in his movement. Eva?
I know him.
What?
I think I do, anyway.
From what class?
No class. I just do. I know him. From somewhere in town, I suppose.
I don't know, Eva. If you're unsure, you've probably never seen him before. I don't think he's easily forgettable.
Maybe you're right.
The click of latches casts us into silence again. From the case, he delicately lifts a cello, warmth in his eyes, caressing the curves of it, as if it were a part of him he lost long ago.
He is certainly not going to play that here, is he?
Why not? Doesn't hurt anyone.
It will hurt my focus.
Goodness, Ambrose, lighten up a little.
I will not.
Ugh. Quiet the both of you. I want to see if he dares.
Interest flickers across her gaze like spiders along dewdrops. The man of autumn sits in the old wooden chair. He holds the instrument firmly to his leg, bending it as if he meant to dance with it. A bow rises high in the air. And then, the world hums deeply to life.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Ones in the Library audio drama by Mythic Machinations Media. For as little as a single dollar, you can help MMM create more audio dramas just like this one. Check the description below to learn more. From the creator and everyone else involved, thank you again for listening.